Welcome in to Mornings with Box 2 Radio here on the Box 2 Radio Network. What a day it is to serve a great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever situation, He is more than enough. Let me say that again. Whatever situation, it's whatever
Somebody spoke to you, didn't they?
Yeah. Messed him up.
You're on a roll.
Yeah, I was. Whatever situation, whatever's going in front of you, whatever the doctor report has had, whatever it is, Jesus is able. Amen. Jesus is able. All right. Miss Crystal, just take us off and I'll fix all this.
Okay. Well, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. That's why you hear us all stuttering, because somebody was speaking to us about this and that. But anyway, God is good this morning, and I'm going off of what Pastor Aaron taught yesterday on faith. God is so good about, you know, I'm just full of faith this morning, asking God to continue filling me with faith through His Word, through what He has this morning. And praying for all kind of things, pray for our nation. And so this morning, let's get ready to receive the word. Let's get ready to enjoy this morning. We have Miss Jeannie Shelburne. I'll let her speak in a minute. We have Miss Karen Shrewsbury and Miss Hannah be coming. Pastor Aaron's with us this morning. And of course, I'm Crystal Taylor, and I'm so glad for the privilege to be on here this morning. And so we're thankful today that God is good and He's moving. And He tells us in His Word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we hope that something this morning we say and we will share with you this morning that will encourage your faith, build you up. And that's what we're praying for. A lot going on in the news this morning. We can't talk about it all, but we're praying for the United States. We're praying for Israel. We're praying for Iran. A lot of the Iranian people are excited this morning about what is going on. Even though war is happening and we hate it, that lives will be lost, God is good and He's still moving. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to continue to pray for that situation, that as much as possible, the lives will be spared. But the Iranian people are rejoicing in the streets. I saw in Flashpoint this morning that they had some people here in the United States dancing and shouting, waving the Iranian flag and the USA flag, United States flag. So they were excited about a lot of interviews about they're so thankful that this was done, because they've been living under oppression for years. So we won't go into deep, in-depth talk about that, but we're grateful this morning that God is moving and we have a president and what's the Israel president? I can't think of his name. I just went blank. Netanyahu. Netanyahu, is that right? Netanyahu, that they are thankful to rise up and do what God has called them to do. So anyway, some dreary weather this week. I know that. I know we have a lot of rain in store. I think Friday's clear, and then it comes back Saturday and Sunday. So Pastor Aaron's back ready to
join us. All right, I think we got
us.
The musical chairs done here.
Excuse me.
Everybody can hear, and right. We are good to go. And they interrupted my little spot there. It's hard to get going. Once you get that first section going, you got to get going.
Don't mess with it.
Yeah, it's not hard to get this brain off track. It's not very big, and it's not very focused. But it is a great day to be here.
Amen.
It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day to be in the kingdom of God. We are praying for wisdom and the leading of the Lord in all things across the worldwide scale. You know, we cannot be surprised when wars and rumors of wars are upon us.
That's true.
And never be surprised by the Middle East and what's going to happen. And there will be a lot of talk, and there's always going to be a lot of political divide and a lot of this going on. But ultimately, what our greatest prayer should always be in all of this is for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what we're commissioned to pray for, is peace for Jerusalem. And the peace of Jerusalem ultimately is that Jesus would come back and establish His throne forevermore, and that shalom would be solidified on the earth, and that the Satan and all of his demonic entities will be bound up in the bottomless pit forevermore, and we will be His people. They said, we will dwell. We won't even need a temple. We won't need nothing, for we will dwell in God and God with His people.
Amen.
So I love that revelation. If you just want some encouraging news, just go read Revelation 19 through 22 this morning. Go read the end of the book. We figured it out. We win.
Yay.
Even after headphone issues and all these other things that surprise us and all the other things that want to overwhelm us, Revelation tells us the end of the book. We win because He won.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we do have a couple of announcements this morning. Let me see here. Let me get over to my announcement page. Miss Jeannie, since we got you here, you can make your announcement. The storybook. Hannah does this one.
I said storybook.
Miss Crystal, you threw me off.
It was story something.
I thought I left a flyer in here, but yeah, it's March 13th, and the story tour is a huge event, actually, and they travel all over the United States. And I think they'll be in Paducah the day before they come here.
Wow.
But it's a big outfit that brings testimony and great worship and an atmosphere for people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Amen. And they come from everywhere. It's amazing how far people will drive to this event. I think we had them coming from other states last
wow.
year. Oh, yeah. Because they follow the tour.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was that... popular, last year was our first go round with it,
mm-hmm.
but
and they pretty much tour every day.
They're pretty busy. Yeah, so anyway, it's a wonderful mm-hmm. Outreach, and we were sold out last year. I mean, just standing room only. So we're expecting a little of the same again.
Yeah.
And also, I have another announcement. Our friend from here, Leslie Downs, mm-hmm. she's going to be at our Celebrate Recovery, be the speaker this next Monday night.
Wow. That's yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, March the 9th, I think that is. Is it?
Yeah, we do love Miss Leslie Downs
here.
Yeah,
well, she's coming, and she's going to share her story with a bunch of people that need to hear her story.
Yes, mm-hmm. she's got an awesome story.
Amen. So
she's also writing a book. I don't know if mm-hmm. you've heard that.
She is.
She's been sending a little... excerpts. I couldn't get the word out. And man, they're powerful. Just the little bit that she's sending. If you want to join her email,
mm-hmm.
then she sends out this email and she gives you just a portion of something that happened and mm-hmm. just something, of her testimony. And I'm like, well, I didn't know that. I knew a lot of her story because we were neighbors for a while, but I didn't know a lot of what she's telling. So it's going
to
be good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to lives changed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is good.
Yeah. I just felt that rising.
Somebody's
up.
Ready today.
Yeah, you can feel an expectancy here on the radio station. Well, Pastor Aaron taught on faith yesterday, and then my sister-in-law sends me a song this morning that says he's always on time. So it's kind of some things Todd and everybody's going through. And Todd and I are facing a situation, so we're like, God, we know you're going to be always on time. You are. You're faithful.
I want to say something about Brother Aaron's sermon yesterday.
Take it away.
Or Tuesday. Open that for me. If you haven't heard, if you weren't here to hear it or you didn't hear it that morning, you need to go listen.
Yeah.
Because it was a good, good preaching, teaching. Call everything.
Encouragement, yeah, encouragement.
Confrontation. I mean, it did.
All right.
That's good. My good friend Jeremy McManaway, he had to fly out yesterday, and he's in Washington, D.C. with his job today.
Oh.
But he sent me a thing this morning. Actually, he put one on Facebook. He got stuck at the gate.
Huh.
And he's like, well, this will preach.
Yeah, stuck at the gate.
So the next sermon came up from being stuck at the gate. So
stuck at the gate.
If you get a chance, you need to go out on Facebook and check it out.
That'd be a good one.
Had a team of six stuck at the gate, and we missed a gate, and then we missed another gate. And then coming home from Puerto Rico, they forgot to book our tickets, even though we paid for them.
Oh, my goodness.
So did you preach that message?
There was a woman.
Next Sunday, baby.
There was a woman in purple clothes.
Uh-oh.
You know, scripture. There was a woman in a purple clothes that worked for a certain airline company that she fit the description in Revelation very fittingly. So it was a time.
Sounds like a time.
It was a time.
It was a time.
But the Lord did mighty things. Amen.
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 Yep. All right, well, let's go into the book of Acts, and then I'll let you all go the rest of the morning.
Woman, thou art loosed.
Women, thou art loosed.
I like the word loosed. Mm-hmm. I like that word.
I'm sorry, Acts what?
I like it better 16? Than seniors.
Yeah,
or seasoned.
Yeah. That's old people.
We are in verse 19, chapter 16, so very familiar. Y'all, this may just be fitting for you all this morning. The Raise a Hallelujah crowd. This is where they're going to sing their they're going to sing themselves out of bondage.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
What if this may be just the God's providence at work morning?
That was what it was made out of, right
there. Yeah. All right. And as many technical difficulties as we've had this morning, we're going to sing our. I'll lead the song. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Come on.
Miss G, look at me like, okay.
Come on. Let's go.
I'm going with you. Let's go with you.
Nobody's going with me.
Yes, we will.
That's the problem. Nobody
will
go with me.
Up. We'll hold your arms up for you, Aaron.
You'll mute my channel and sing. All right. But when her owner saw that her hope was gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, drug them. So, we already read that. So it's 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, remember, they're in the uttermost part of the prison. They're basically underground, deepest part of the prison. They are in the stocks, which does not mean like the stocks that they used to throw fruit at people. These were actually very uncomfortable, torturous situations. They would position their legs and arms in awkward places. They would chain them up. They would lock them up. The jailers, they weren't like elected officials per se. They were, I want to be careful and say this, going to want to like make something out to be as not, but they were almost torturers. Like when this jailer gets born again, it wasn't a light thing. Like these jailers, they loved pain. They loved inflicting pain. They loved causing pain. And when they chained people up, they really did do it in such ways that it was very painful, excruciating, and also that they didn't want them to leave. There was no room for escape. And so this is where we find Paul and Silas. Why are they there? Because literally they cast a demon out of a young girl. Now, this is also, if you look at the context, as we discussed in the last couple of days, the beginning of the Philippian church. This is where the Philippian church is. It begins with three converts: Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman, a slave girl who was literally a median in the temple of Delphi. She was under the spirit of divination, but is also what you could interpret that as the spirit of Python. The spirit of Python, and the reason it was said that to her is she was actually a median which spoke to demons in the temple of Delphi, and the Delphi's temple or logo was a serpent. So she was of the spirit of Delphi. She was of that spirit of divination. She was of that median type spirit. She gets born again, and now the jailer and her whole family. This is how the Philippian churches get started. The church gets started. We talked about yesterday, how would you like to plant a church with a ex tarot card reader, a wealthy businesswoman that probably gets her way all the time, and a person who inflicts and torture people.
I think we might have done that.
That's what Miss Gretchen said. But we said the beautiful thing is that's how the Lord works.
Yeah,
that's how the Lord works. So it's about midnight, which means that it's middle of the night. They should be sleeping. They should be probably moaning and groaning, you know, what is the weeping indoors for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There we go, Miss Karen, we got it. All right.
You got a rodeo.
So there was
that's the movement of his hand they're talking about. All right.
And the prisoners were so let me restart this.
I
now
I told you I'd be there for you.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns. They were singing a song to the Lord. They were singing their testimony to God. They were singing that he is faithful. Who knows what they're singing?
Raise a hallelujah.
You never know. All right. And the prisoners were listening to them. So they were catching the ear of the prisoners. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Don't you love when a suddenly happens?
Right.
I do.
There was a great earthquake, and so the foundations of the prison were shaken. I think we don't always talk enough about how the Lord really does use natural means sometimes in these kind of things. Like, we always want to excuse natural means, but we can see where God uses them. And he is God of the weather. He's the God of natural law. He's the God of everything. And here he just says, I'm going to send an earthquake. I'm going to send a shaking. Now, I think the natural was following the spiritual here. And so often the spiritual sets the precedence for the natural. And I believe there was a great shaking happening in the spirit because Paul and Silas, they decided to praise and to sing hymns in the midst of a very unfair, unjust situation that was causing great harm, affliction, and pain upon their bodies. And yet, in the midst of it, they said, there's one thing we can do. We're going to pray, and we're going to sing. We're going to pray, and we're going to sing.
I do think it really speaks, too, again, about the, you know, the praises. And, you know, when you read, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, I think this is a good way of looking at how our praises affect things. Mm-hmm. You know, when we sing praises, we should expect an earthquake, something to be shaken in that place where we find ourselves or in that area, so that when we praise unto God, somebody's going to hear it and there's going to be a shaking that happens to the point that the foundations are shaken. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I love it. This is probably one of my favorite texts. I preached this one time at Madrid, and me and Josh Milburn, we acted out Paul and Silas, and we sang.
Good for y'all.
It was awful.
It was not.
I mean, Paul was a short man, so I got to be Paul, and we didn't know if Silas was actually bald or not. But Josh was Silas, so we had to let him be Silas.
This is one of those moments, Aaron, when you really need to think about, you know, when you do that, that's a memorial you're building. You know, you need to think about it that way instead of holding back.
It was something.
And to this day, it still
people
stands.
Talk about it. I don't know if it's the right memorial, but it was a stone, and people still talk about it.
That's funny.
So there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everybody's bonds were unfastened. Now, this scripture preaches so well, because you can preach it with that B3 organ in the back. Like, when you praise, it's not just your breakthrough. You're getting people's breakthrough all around. You can just go every different way, man. You can preach, and this is a good preaching text.
Yes.
But I think also seeing and sitting down with it and seeing what's really happening as well, because as good as it preaches, it also encourages and instructs, revelates. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of times we just let scriptures preach because they preach well, but we don't let them enter our hearts. Like, we just kind of like, oh, yeah, this is a good, we can really get people fired up on this. But really, think about what's happening here. I witness with Paul and Silas here on the difficult situation, and I've also seen the breakthrough whenever we sing and praise in the midst of a situation.
That's exactly right. And
and you know, me and Miss Crystal was talking, I won't give details the other day, but it was at school, and we both can testify what it's like when you don't really feel like, when you feel like everything's crashing down, and you don't have this overwhelming sense of like happiness and joy, right. And you can't even say you have this overwhelming sense of faith, really, like, because I've been there before, where it's a little bit shaken. But I also know what it's like when you stand there not knowing the way out, but choosing to worship.
That's right.
That's right.
I'll praise you anywhere. I'll praise you again and again. I'll praise you in the storm. And we've all been through situations where it's all we have is our praise sometimes. That's all we have is, God, I don't understand your ways. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand why you let this happen. I don't get it, God. It's not lining up. It just don't make sense to my natural mind. But all I know is I'm going to raise a hallelujah, because that's all I have. And I'm going to speak. I'm going to speak your word. Y'all are rubbing off on me.
I'm going to talk about you.
And I'm going to share. You know, I'm going to just get in your word and just begin to speak it like we've been talking about, because it brings a shift. Why did the foundations of the prison, why were they shaken? Because praise was going up. And it says once they did, they got their minds off the situation, and they're like, God, you've left us. God, we're sitting here. What do we do? We don't understand. We were preaching. We were just doing some good things. Why do bad things happen to good people? We were sitting here. But you know what, God? We're going to praise you in the middle of the storm.
And, you know, I love what it says there about, you know, they were singing praises unto God. and the prisoners heard them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it's I was thinking about that on the way over here. When I find myself in a place, I listen to praise and worship, or I listen to a teaching, or I read my Bible. It's the power of Him in it,
right?
You know, and they heard them, and I think that that's a really big thing. That
and
the
you know
praises
that, that foundations of the prison mm-hmm. is our situation. Mm-hmm. It begins to shake. It's beginning to crumble because it cannot continue mm-hmm. to go against you when you praise your way out of it. It's shaking the very foundation of the situation of
Absolutely.
The problem.
I think they were at a point. You know, like I'm at the place I believe that they were, and I don't mean to the degree maybe that it's read here, but you know, after you've done that for a while,
right.
it's a weapon
mm-hmm.
and it's a force mm-hmm. and it's
an earthquake.
It's an aggression.
Yeah,
I mean, we're moving forward in the middle of this, mm-hmm. and so it's like almost. I think it never. I don't think Paul here in this place where he was found himself going, well, why is this always happening to me? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, but he knew.
Right.
Okay, look, he reeled it in. Come on, Silas, we're getting ready
right.
to do some praise and
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
That's right.
We talked about
I was
last
Paul.
Yeah.
I was Paul.
Yeah,
was it? You did that. You lost
Paul in a skit.
Me and Josh Milburn. He was Silas though, because Paul was shorter.
But
sorry.
We talked about last week of adjusting.
I just want to see it. That's
of
all.
Adjusting ourselves. And there was an adjustment that came. Not that they were down, but they said, here's a bad situation we're in. What are we going to do? We're praising. Mm-hmm. I don't understand God, but I'm going to lift my hands praising and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake,
you know,
so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And then that little conjunction in there, and mm-hmm. immediately. Uh-huh. All the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened.
I think you brought up a great point. We actually brought it up in our Bible study the other night. It's time that you were heard.
Right.
You know, all this, oh, I'm just going to praise God in my heart, or I'm going to worship God, I'm going to pray silently, and all. And I hear you. But it's time that we was heard.
Mm-hmm.
We were heard singing His praise mm-hmm. in the middle of a storm.
Right.
That we were heard giving prayers up to God in the
right.
midst of an earthquake or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever's happening. We're not out loud.
Right.
We're not mm-hmm. living out loud mm-hmm. for some reason.
You
and
know, close your eyes. Everybody raise your hand if you know, all of that.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of that.
It's time to get out there and mm-hmm. put Him back out mm-hmm. in the front. Mm-hmm. And that's what they, I mean, the people, the prisoners heard Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected everything.
Right.
Everything. How much, you know, the Worthy News talked, George Whitten, he talked
yes.
about
yes.
talked about atmosphere this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Your atmosphere, because that atmosphere that you're putting out around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to begin to charge our air again mm. with the praise and the worship. And here's who we're counting on, and this is the one we're talking to, you know. And we don't. We kind of shrink back and stay isolated in our own little
right.
bubble with
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, and I was thinking about this on the way over here this morning too. I've said this before, probably, but one of the things that amazes me is when you're in worship, either individually or collectively, whatever, when words like holy and worthy begin to be sung, the air changes.
Mm-hmm.
When we worship Him and Him alone, you are worthy. Holy are you. Everything around you change. I feel it in the air when we sing those words about Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just affects the atmosphere, like what you were saying there.
Listen to what George said this morning. And he was talking in relationship to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They're up against the wall again. They're ready to go into the promised land, but they saw nothing but a bad report. And what began as a report became an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Went throughout. It started affecting. Take uh-huh. this over into this.
That's good.
It became the atmosphere here. And then it said what began as information became emotion. And then the emotion left unchecked turned into rebellion.
Right.
That's exactly what happens to us, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the power here. They did. Paul and Silas turned and made an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of hope, an atmosphere of love toward God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Period. I think in this moment, they didn't know when they started that singing, they didn't know everything was going to work out.
They didn't know those doors were going to swing open for everybody.
Sing that song.
That's right. But there could have been an unction, though, from the Holy Spirit, because just as, you know, Jesus said,
absolutely,
I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. I don't say anything that I don't see my Father say. And I was thinking about that because yesterday I was listening to a teaching by John MacArthur on like killing sin in your life, and it was so good. And it was talking about how a lot of the times when we don't, like you were talking about being silent, a lot of the times when we don't do what we're supposed to, it's because we're still the Lord of our life.
Right.
We're still the idol. Like we are the idol.
Yeah, that's a good word.
That we, because worship, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, is our obedience.
Right.
We talked about Abraham and Isaac. The first time it's mentioned is the action of obeying what God says to do. Same thing with obeying what God says to sing, obeying if God says to pray this, or, you know, whatever it is. But I just thought that was, it was so enlightening to think about. It just really tied in with that on, you know, why are we silent? That, you know, the Spirit will lead us and give us that little nudge.
Come on.
Yeah,
that's right.
Knowing.
That's right. Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, he'd already had some experience being led by the Holy Spirit anyway.
So I know what to do
a little bit. Absolutely. He heard the voice of the Lord go on, sing right here. Okay. That's all right. I believe
But
that.
Then the beautiful thing is, like, you are kind of like a childlike faith, because then you're like, well, I don't know what's going to happen when I do this. But it's like a wonder, like, I wonder what God's going to do when we start.
That's right.
Right.
When we start. Should be the focus.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a message years ago. I need to pull that thing up. Was you going to talk, Aaron?
I did my job.
This is actually still y'all's time. We're on y'all's time right now.
I just got the ball rolling. That's all I'm called to do.
We lose the wonder and the awe of God, and being on the edge of your seat like a child, waiting for that next move, that next moment, knowing that it'll be there.
Right.
It'll be there. And, you know, you may not know all the ins and outs. You may not know how this thing's going to work, but he'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll come through.
Right.
He said so.
And that goes back to kind of what we talked about when we were talking about how God would fight for you. And then the next was about the praises that we give to him in that place. And you begin to see it as a full circle. Mm-hmm. You begin to see the wholeness of it, you know, the praise and the result and the praise and the result and how he comes through every single time when we lift his name.
So what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be
doing?
We were reading
Acts 16. Oh, okay. We got through two verses.
Okay.
We got stuck
on. I was just going.
I thought she was asking about, like, spiritually, what are we supposed to be doing? I was still in the spirit. Like, I was really tuned in.
No, because I said, well, we kind of took their time. But, I mean, just say, normally on the mornings, they read Acts. And so we got stuck on 25.
Well, y'all go ahead and read.
Yeah, I've got a lot.
I only read one verse. No, two verses.
They're used to us by now, surely.
Right.
Well, honestly, we do. I mean, we're at that 7:30 mark. We have gone a week and a day now. All the trivia answers answered.
Awesome.
Wow.
Questions
answered.
I love this.
Yeah.
We're perfect attendance. That's what I've been saying. We're perfect attendance. And so I'll throw this out here, and then you ladies can take off wherever you want to, and I can answer. The phone. Tuesday question number two. In the cleansing of the temple, what specific material did Jesus use to make a scourge, a whip? In the cleansing of the temple, what specific material did Jesus use to make a scourge? 270-257-2689. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right, ladies. Where are we going this morning?
Hannah.
We're going to him. I actually, a listener sent in what I'm doing currently right now. I was trying to send them last week's MBR with, we talked about hurts, habits, and hangups. That's what I titled it. But they said that last week was was fire for my family, is how they said awesome. It, but that wow. it hit home to them and was yeah. really helpful. And we heard a lot of feedback. So I'm trying to pull that up and send that to them because they want to listen to that. They want to send it to the rest right. of their family mm-hmm. this morning.
It's good.
So
yeah,
not trying to go back to last week, but no. that's what yeah. I'm doing.
Was that
on
a young
phone.
Person who said it was fire?
No, it's actually... I would consider them, no offense, brother, but somebody in the older generation.
Seasoned.
What are you trying to say, man?
Well, it just sounds like I'm learning these young adults and, like, I'm still learning all these sayings. Like, some kid came up to me the other day and said something to me, and I said, what in the world does that mean? So I don't know.
I know. I thought the same thing when I read it. I was like, he's getting young and hip right yeah. now.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the other, this is totally not spiritual, but I sent a text to my daughter and I asked her something and she responded with like, yes. No, I know what it is, but
Dead
I got is she, you know, one of those three letter things that stand for
like
a whole
an acronym.
Sentence. Yeah. And, I said, what do you mean, why am I asking? And what she was asking me is, where are you at? And I thought she was saying, why are you asking?
Why are you asking?
And I typed back, I said, well, I thought you would know why I was asking. She goes, no, I'm asking you where you are.
Who's on first? You remember
that? Hey, you should have responded with WDM. What you, or no, WYM, what do you mean?
What
do you mean?
Well, no, I thought I knew
I
what you
it.
Mean.
I got LOL down. That's about
that's
all
about, I mean, why they run them up that long?
And I know right. I know right.
It took me forever to figure out LOL was laugh out loud. I thought it was lots of love.
Yeah, my grandma did that once. Somebody died, passed away, and she put LOL on the Facebook status.
Lots of love.
Lots of love. That's what it used to mean.
That's awful. Oh. Well, the good thing is probably half of Facebook didn't know what it what it stood for. And then the other half was laughing. They weren't sending lots of love.
And some of them are going, Grandma.
Some of them were, we need one for very mad. Whatever. Yeah. Some of them were probably that.
I do emojis. That helps.
That was an answer for the trivia. Yay. So we are, our streak is still alive.
Really?
We're
people
alive.
People got their Bibles drawn.
What was
they?
The answer?
It was small chords, John 2:15, and Miss Tina Shrewsbury.
Hey, Tina. Yeah. Good morning.
And I will say too, this morning, Miss Tiffany will be back with us, and I think she's coming earlier this
today?
Day. Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
So,
does that mean we have to let her talk?
Well, on my calendar, it says 8 o'clock, so yes. That's why I put it at 8 o'clock, because people were joking, saying we want to hear more. Right. You all were saying we need to let you talk more. So if there's anything you were wanting to bring out, I'd probably go ahead and
bring it
before she's here.
So we should.
Hannah's basically telling y'all to talk now.
So we
talk too much. No.
Probably. So that we can get to whatever, you know, change the language.
We're
going to
let her talk. Is that what you're saying? Please let her talk. Okay.
Well, back to this praising thing. You know, but I looked at Acts 4:31 and said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I mean, it's prayer and praise, prayer and praise. It has an effect when we're all together doing it, or alone. I thought it was good.
Alone and being heard.
Right. Exactly. I like that.
I like that challenge right there. But we did, you know, we were talking at our Bible study about that, and his fame needs to hit this land again in a great way. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen through us. We need to stir this up again. Mm-hmm. Stir up our faith in Him. Stir up our praise. Don't be ashamed that you've put all your trust in Him.
Right.
Don't shrink back because you had a song in your heart. You know.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Well, it's, you know, it's again reminds me of the Jericho story where his fame went before them. Mm-hmm. His fame went before them.
Well, yeah, what do you think happened after this? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I mean, the Bible doesn't say anything about it, but my goodness, I mean, the whole town had to know. Did you hear what happened at the jail last night? I mean,
yeah, you know it passed on.
And it did. So where was you at? You were
She was just sending something.
She was, yeah.
I have something, but I don't know. It might be too long. That's what I said. If we only got 30 minutes, it might be too long. But
I was thinking about, off of what Karen was saying, about not boasting in the Lord, or not boasting in ourselves, but only boasting in the Lord, because that's when he's going to get the glory. So I did want to throw that in there before, because...
We can stay in this vein.
It's because, you know, that's what keeps us... That was just really... I'm telling y'all, you should go back... I can send it to you. You should go back and listen to that teaching from on killing sin, because, you know, it really put in perspective for me. It was like the Holy Spirit used it for... I feel like when you are... I'm definitely not as seasoned as you guys, but when you're starting to walk with the Lord longer and longer, you start... It's like you have to actively be looking for sin in your life, because a lot of the old things you used to do... You're not doing those things anymore. So sin starts to be harder to find. You know, like you have to search me, O Lord. You know, it's not those big one, like
obvious.
But one of the bigger things is when you get, I'm doing my hands as quotation, seasoned, is you can get comfortable.
Yes.
And so you need to, because you've kind of dealt with, you're not there. Believe me, I still got a long way to go and a lot of things.
But do you know what I mean by that? Like, it's not the huge sins
that you were stuck in for a long time. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've kind of overcome through the word, through the blood of the testimony. You've kind of learned how to deal with those issues that arise, because it's the same one that usually comes. And but then you get to a place where God keeps stirring me up, keep moving me forward, God, because... I don't want to get comfortable. I don't want to get lazy. I want to move out and I want to go.
Yeah.
And then you have to find a place to put something, you know, because then you're filled up with all this stuff, with all this good word and with the praise and all that. And so you want to find a place to pour it out, you know, and ask God to begin to say, God, I heard a teaching Sunday morning also. It was on the Holy Spirit, just on going back to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, as far as this ministry, we do not apologize for the Holy Spirit. We will move in the Holy Spirit. He said, we do speak in tongues. You know, we believe in that. And he said, so we don't apologize, because we have seen. And he went back over the history of some things that had happened in that church. And if I said the church, but there's no need to say it. But he was just saying, God has always moved through the Holy Spirit here, and God will always. We're not going to quench it. We're not going to sit back. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the key. Not only the word, not only prayer, not only fasting, but flowing in the Holy Spirit, speaking in your heavenly language, relating with God, allowing, like you said earlier, I heard you say the word unction. What is that? That's coming. That's a word right from the Holy Spirit. Right then, you sense it, you feel it. There's an unction, there's a moving in your spirit, and God wants to move. And so as Paul and Silas were probably sitting there, like you said, they probably got an unction to begin to pray. They got an unction to begin to sing. And when we lose sight of that, when we just begin to get back and say, I don't know if I want to move in all that emotions and all. I want the emotions. I don't want to be out of balance. And I don't want to just move in my emotions. But when the Holy Spirit comes on me, or when I feel an unction of the Holy Spirit to begin to pray with somebody, I do feel emotions. I do feel power. I do feel God moving. And that's okay. And we need to stay in that also. You know, we talk a lot about prayer, and we should. I mean, that's key. Prayer, giving, fasting is a threefold core. We should stay with that, reading the word out loud, confessing the word. We've talked about all these things. But what about praying in the Holy Spirit? What about just sitting and just moving in your gift of tongues and just speaking out? You talk about foundation shifting. It's when you begin to get God's heavenly language on your word, and you begin to pray and say, God, there are no words. But they, you know, the Bible talks about how they would pray with groanings too deep for words. You begin to do that, then you have your heavenly language. If you don't know what we're talking about, call in. Pastor Aaron will talk to you while we're talking.
But, you know, I think this whole section right here, all the way down to verse 30, I know we haven't got there yet, but it talks about them being in this place, and they were singing praises, and people heard them, and there was a shaking, and the foundations shook, and it goes on. But it and in verse 30, again, like I said, we've left, but the warden or whatever he was came in, you know, afraid and all that. But in verse 30, it says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That that really is the result. You know, it's kind of like I've learned the value, the extraordinary effect of prayer and praise.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's the thing. And I, you know, there are days I get really tired of myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're getting on your my last nerve. But the thing of it is, my focus now is tuning more to that verse 30, where because of the result of my praise, my foundation is going to be shaken. There's going to be the prison in my life is going to be shaken. That thing that holds me back from mm-hmm. doing what God wants me to do. And it's going to be shaken, and I'm going to be loosed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then what's going to happen is I'm going to begin to move because I've been set free, because I have prayed and worshiped the Lord. And I've studied His Word. And then it comes down and it says, the keeper heard the earthquake. He heard the shaking. And he comes running and he says, what must I do to be saved? That's where all of a sudden, amazingly enough, I find myself focused on more now, because I've learned what praise and worship does for me. And it loosens me. It shakes my foundations. It flings open the door of the prisons that are in my life. Unwillingness, of fear, whatever it is. And I find myself being that, but now I find myself looking for that one, sir, what must I do to be saved? As a result, you know, as a result of my praise, as a result of my praying, as a result of what I have done unto the Lord. And it's an incredible thing, you know, to come out of that place.
That's why even doing it out loud is such an important thing.
Yes.
That people do see your faith,
right,
and see that you have a trust that's beyond normal.
Right. Teaching, it's always teaching.
Right, right.
I mean, think about Jesus. Everything He did, just going about His mission, He was always teaching.
Right.
In everything. He had such a purpose with everything. And I think, you know, with us, we can get to that point in the Spirit, but a lot of times we're still being sanctified, so we don't even realize some of the word that we're speaking out loud, or prayer that we're speaking out loud, or a song that we start singing. We may not even ever realize till we get to heaven what that did for somebody.
Mm-hmm. But how we can expect a result.
We can expect the results, though. But I think about all the seeds that we don't even get to see,
right,
as well. You know, the way that that the Lord just ministers through the Spirit. I mean, it transcends sometimes even what we can see, but I'm thankful that He lets us see seeds that are watered and come to fruition,
right,
because
right.
It brings encouragement.
We were talking about this in our small group with Miss Jerry and Rachel and all that bunch over there. Good morning.
Good morning, girls.
And, but they were talking about, you know, back in the old days, you know, they walked a long way to church. And the walk, you could hear in hollers, prayer meetings happening. People are praying. Because why? Because they're praying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear them. You could hear worship and praise going through the mountains. I heard this story from a man that lives in Pigeon Forge, and how a man got saved because he heard he couldn't get away from the songs.
Right.
He couldn't get away from them. They were going through the holler, and it was reaching his house.
And they were on their way to church.
Yeah.
They were on their way.
But especially what touched me was the prayer meetings.
You, know,
you could hear the people praying and crying out to God. Do we hear that?
Mm-hmm.
We hardly do. Mm-hmm. We hardly do. And I wonder if we can't get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so different than like a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people say what Jesus says about the Pharisees, like not praying out loud in the streets to be seen. But the difference. The difference in that.
Yes.
And then when you hear someone crying out to Almighty God, or somebody wailing in the Spirit, uttering things that, you know, groanings that are, you know, there's not even words that can be prayed at that moment.
Right,
you know the difference there when your spirit bears witness with it. And even, I think, the people that had never experienced it before. I think when the Spirit brings witness to our spirit, but also there's a peace. Mm-hmm. There's a peace that's different than just religious prayer.
Right.
And that's pretty awesome.
Acts 2, and this is kind of talking about the Holy Spirit. This is where, of course, they've just received the Holy Spirit. But in verse 14, it says he begins to speak. It's the sermon about Pentecost, you know, and it's saying here, he lifted up his voice and addressed them. Now, of course, he's speaking to men that were coming against him. I get that. But everywhere you go in the Bible, excuse me, you can see that they spoke out in the communities. I mean, he is speaking to people that came to destroy or came to put them down. What are you doing? These people are drunk, you know. And he says, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. For this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Again, Joel was speaking, like you're talking about. We're declaring, we're speaking. Let people hear us. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. They weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed that they were in the streets talking about this is going to happen. Joel spoke to you and told you that the Spirit of God is going to come on your sons and your daughters. I'm sorry, on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I'm saying in all this is that we got to keep the Holy Spirit alive in our personal lives, which I know we do, but as a congregation, as in the streets, not being ashamed to That's declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And That's again, right. Evangelism is powerful. We talked about it last Wednesday night. It is powerful, is what we need. Some have an actual gift for evangelism. It flows out of them. And others of us, it says in public speaking or in private, we need to be declaring and telling others and spreading the gospel, not just spreading, but not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. That's what's been going on with me all week, is not being ashamed. Paul and Silas were not ashamed. They begin to declare their praises, just like we're all talking about, and others listened and heard. That's what people need. They need to sense the power of God. They need to sense the signs and wonders and the Holy Spirit moving in a service. That's why so many people are not flowing. It's dead.
Yeah.
It's dead. And God is speaking to us. I want to pour out my spirit on all flesh, on all mankind. And it's time for us not to be embarrassed anymore. Maybe somebody does something out of balance. It'll be corrected. Don't worry. We have people in place that will watch and guard and protect. But in the meantime, don't quench the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit during this time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. That's when Miss Jeannie was talking earlier, that's the word that kept popping into my mind was, do not be ashamed.
That's
do
right.
not be ashamed.
That's right. Because I think it gets out of the church, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, what she's talking about is, you know, we got your evangelism.
Right.
And I think sometimes we think, okay, they're evangelists.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That's right.
But in our conversation, in our interaction with people every day, we will cross paths with people all day today.
Right.
And in that place, are we going to speak? Be careful to answer here.
Right.
Be careful to respond to them from the place where God spoke something,
right.
where God said something, because it's in our conversation almost every day. People are worried. People are nervous about things. They're fearful about war. It's all around us, and we can speak into it the hope and the faith that we have in Jesus here.
Mm-hmm. I have a scripture that kind of talks to that. It won't be long.
No,
it's just
go
a few
ahead.
Verses.
Please go ahead.
In Colossians 3, it kind of touches on a lot of what we talked about, but verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So that's like, we're not the one calling the shots anymore. He is. To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That made me think. I was also listening about in the time of Amos, when the word of God, the voice of the Lord was scarce, and there was a famine. think about like how often we take for granted the word of the Lord, of, right. of mm-hmm. Him speaking, mm-hmm. you know. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So that's like what Miss Jeannie's speaking. Yeah. You know, if the word of God is dwelling in us, if it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling,
it's bubbling in us.
It'll come out whenever we encounter people, when others need it.
It's, and both things go into play right here, because we have put the word of God in us. It's dwelling in us richly. Then we're moved on by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And I find, you know, when I'm talking to somebody, a lot of times here's what I'm saying inwardly. Lord, how you want me to respond to this? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, inwardly, I'm always wanting to respond from that place where the Spirit of God says, right. say this, right. say this.
Right.
And, you know, and then, of course, that's a whole other thing. Right. The gifts of the Spirit start operating, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 4:1-8, I guess I'll just go ahead and read it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Mm-hmm. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time when will come, and it feels like we're kind of moving in that season, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So this is what I was trying to get to. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And then it goes on that laid for me a crown of righteousness. But what I'm mainly speaking, we're talking about all of this, preaching the word, be ready in season and out of season, asking the Lord through the Holy Spirit to give you, do the work of an evangelist. It doesn't mean you are an evangelist, but you do the work of it. You spread the gospel is pretty much what being an evangelist is. It's a practice of sharing the good news of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And you can do that publicly, or you can do that in a personal witness through your testimony. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm kind of looking at my notes from last week because we talked about a lot of this. But so that means all of us should be spreading the good news. We should be speaking. How do we do that? We ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? That's why the Holy Spirit is so important in these last days, or what we're going through right now. I mean, I don't know. I know in our world, I know in the United States, we have a prayer team now in the White House. And I think even Paula White heads it up. And they are praying and asking the Holy Spirit, give President Trump wisdom. You know what I'm saying? They are speaking that over him and declaring. The Holy Spirit needs to be everywhere. It needs to be in the White House. It needs to be in Governor Beshear's office. It needs to be wherever you are at, in your home, on your job. Now, be respectful on your job because you are working, you know, and you can't go around Honda Machine all over somebody. But you know what I'm saying? You know, you need to respect the job you're on. But at the same time, declare that I will not be ashamed to share the gospel by the Holy Spirit when the Lord leads me.
Well, you know, you talking, it made me think about that scripture that talks about we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And of course, but one of the things that jumped out to me is what the word reconciliation means. It means exchange. Mm.
Yeah,
I thought that was so neat. That's good. You know, it is. But we've been given the ministry of exchange.
Yeah.
You know, to give to someone. But it made me think of Jeremy, too. But that's what we've been reconciled to him. Mm-hmm. And he has given us that ministry of reconciliation.
That's right. That's right. Mm. So good.
You know, I was listening. I don't know what the program was on Box 2 on the way home last night. And it was talking about, you know, what's going on right now and with our president and how, you know, what went on with stopping potential threat mm-hmm. coming to us mm-hmm. from Iran. And I don't really I don't get involved with politics a lot. I don't listen to a whole lot. But I do think sometimes the Lord will speak and allow me to hear certain mm-hmm. things. And in that moment, I've just really felt like I thanking the Lord Amen. That we are possibly spared from something that really worse, mm-hmm. that really bad that could have happened to us. And I was thanking the Lord, you know, even I need to pray more for our president, because I don't think his I don't think he's necessarily right with the Lord. Like, I think that he needs, we need to keep praying for him,
yes,
that his own soul will be right with the Lord. But I know that God puts people in leadership for a purpose, and that there's no doubt, I don't think any of us could disagree, that the Lord has given him wisdom. And that when you said that about that they were praying wisdom for him, I was like, wow, because yeah, the Lord, there's wisdom. Like, mm-hmm, there's wisdom of the word that people end up stumbling upon and using, and it works.
Right.
Like, it's just always going to work. And I'm thankful for that. And I was just thanking the Lord that, you know, thank you, Lord, that we have more years now that we can be about your business. So, Lord, let us be about your business. Let us not be ashamed.
Because this is just for a season.
A window.
There, and yeah, we don't know what's coming after.
It's just
these
a
four,
small
three
window.
Years left. You know, we don't know. But being led by the Holy Spirit, that's what we need to keep encouraging people, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And not be ashamed even to say it on this radio station. You need the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, to move in the gifts, to flow, to discern, to have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, laying hands on people and then being healed. We need the Holy Spirit to help us in these. Like Jesus said, I'm going away, and I'm going to leave you help. I'm going to leave you the comfort. I'm going to leave you power.
Well, in the few minutes we got, I want to go back to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. You know, when you was talking about the president, and you were talking about, I don't think he's right, you know, in his soul yet. He's not in the best place yet with the Lord, but there's people praying for him, and that's so valid. And you know, everybody has so many opinions about leadership, uh-huh, and about the leadership of our day. And I just want to encourage you: no one can do this job.
That's right.
The president of the United States, there's no one ever lived could do that job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible says that the authority is from him.
Right. Amen.
It is from the Lord. If he's not in the mix, nobody of themselves would be able to do that. And so all the more reason that bring down your defenses, get some compassion, Christian, and begin to pray for your leadership.
I heard this pastor say this one time. Somebody was at, not just this past week, but they were talking about President Trump. And this pastor said that when people choose the king, God hates it. When God picks the king, the people hate him.
Mm.
And he was talking about Saul and David, because David was initially going to be the king. That's the one that God or anointed to be king when he was just a boy. But the people wanted a king,
mm-hmm,
so they picked Saul.
That's right.
And at first, the people didn't like David.
Mm-hmm.
But he made that point. He said, when God puts somebody in place, really puts them in place, he said, the people are going to hate that person. Because it's regardless of what they know or don't know, God is in charge of that. He
mm-hmm
puts that there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
And actually, I'll share this, but we only have like a minute or so left before we have to go to our hard break. But there was somebody locally that was praying, and the Lord was having them pray for the whole situation before this ever happened about with Iran. And they were feeling like, are they planning something again? They didn't know for sure.
Retaliate.
But
yeah.
Yes. Like they just felt an uneasiness about all of that. And then they felt like this was the Lord, like showing and confirming them, like our prayers work.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm,
he
they're already retaliating
prayers
on Israel. So they've already begun, but Trump said, we're not worried. We're ready. And Israel is also. It's not just Trump. It's not
yes
just America. It's Israel also.
Yes.
So I was listening. If you watch Flashpoint, I hate to do a little advertisement there, but it's godly news, and
mm-hmm,
you kind of can learn. Because it's also right during the time of Purim, P-U-R-I-M,
mm-hmm,
which is,
mm-hmm,
if you don't know, is when Esther went and Haman, and she was able to deliver her nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right on the eve of all this, that all this
yeah
has happened. And so it was within an hour that they were able to go in and take over. That
mm-hmm
that's how close this was.
Wow.
So, you know, but you know, between Israel and America, prayerfully, it's working. And
yes,
it will happen.
And I think that's what gratitude and thankfulness for what the Lord's doing, and then continuing to intercede, because it's encouragement that the Lord, we already know that the Lord hears us, but it's evidence.
Right. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I can't get off of that here lately, of just the Holy Spirit, and just don't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed of it, because it's our life. It's how we're going to make it. Sorry, I forgot we had a minute.
No, you're good. So it is time for heartbreak.
All right. Well, we are still perfect attendance on our trivia questions for the last week and 2 days.
We were perfect, Aaron.
What king was killed by his own? Now, this one's going to be hard, so we're going to have to really push for this one. What king was killed by his own sons? It's in the Old Testament. What king was killed by his own sons? We're going to take a quick break, do our hard break here. We'll be right back here on Mornings of Boxer Radio. We're back on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood.
Yes.
Welcome back into Mornings of Box 2 Radio. We have an answer for that trivia question. Woo! I was afraid that that was a toughie. A little bit harder. And Brother Paul Doyle chimed in here.
Awesome.
He said that him and Miss Robin was reading through 2 Kings last night. This was in their nightly reading. And they actually read this passage.
So
I said, look at God's providence. What king was killed by his own sons? Now, he said this name really well. Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm going to let, yeah, I'm going to go with Miss Crystal said.
That's Louisiana style. Sennacherib.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear Kentucky.
Yeah, you don't want to hear this redneck boy trying to say it.
I don't even know if that's right. I just said it.
It sounds like Sennacherib, rib. It's a rib, dude.
I've heard it Sennacherib, but Sennacherib. I don't know that it's
Sennacherib.
That's so. Like me trying to say Zabrub, blah, blah.
Okay, here we go. Reel it.
I just learned how to say Miss Jeannie last week. All right, well, congratulations, Mr. Paul, who is, I told one day he really chimed in laughing. I said, Brother Paul's almost as cold as his mom, Miss Doyle, but not quite there yet. But he's getting there.
He's on the way.
He does such a great job in Sunday school and opening up and helping out wherever. And him and Jordan's doing that one, the Titus 10 thing with a group of guys on Zoom. So it's going great, they said. So praise God. I love that Brother Paul, Miss Robin's here. Just a great, great, great family, and love them dearly, and they've been a blessing in my life in tremendous ways. So thank you for getting that name in there, Brother Paul. All right, ladies, I'll let you all
loosed.
Yeah, y'all are loosed. Thou are loosed
again.
Thou are loosed. Amen. All right, Miss Jeannie, introduce Miss Tiffany was with us before, right?
So she's all of our friends now.
She's all of our friends now.
She's not just Jeannie's friends.
Go
she's
ahead,
all,
Chris,
she's well, belongs to all
I feel like I don't. I was in and out the morning that you were here, but the reports were you didn't get to talk much, so that's why you're back.
I enjoyed it.
Because
I enjoyed every minute.
Because she was with us.
This is why I concede on Tuesdays. This is why I just take the morning off.
When I heard that early on the radio, we were talking about you need to let her talk this time. I was just laughing. I almost texted Hannah. I was like, y'all are funny.
Well, you put a couple of ladies together But Miss Tiffany is joining us. What is your last name? I'm sorry, Tiffany.
York.
Tiffany York. She is currently worship leader at.
I'm helping at KMC with Michael.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. All right.
Kingdom
and
Mission.
So she's been a little bit everywhere as far as worship leading and had a lot of experiences with that. So we're glad you joined us this morning. We're going to let you maybe take off and see. We'll help you. We're going to let you talk.
Well, I've been pressing in on, you know, what do you want me to talk about in my testimony? I feel like there's a lot of different ways that we could go. There's, you know, an hour is not long enough to talk about 41 years.
Oh, yeah.
But the Lord has led me in so many different ways since coming to Him in 2020. We talked about that last time. But prior to 2020, around 2013 was when my life really shifted into not a good direction. And I went from healthcare. I worked in healthcare. And like I said, I have always known the Lord, was raised, you know, to know the Lord, was raised in church, was raised around a Christian family. And around my mid-20s, I totally just rebelled. That's pretty much it. And So in 2013, there was a shift in my life that I had went down the secular music road, and I learned to play the guitar for the Lord. And this is a real hard, you know, real hard subject for me, because I learned to play the guitar specifically to play His music. And when I left and I rebelled, my marriage failed. I shifted careers, you know, out of nursing, and just all the things, you know, came crashing down. That's why it took me so long to pick up my guitar again, mm-hmm. because I felt like I had abandoned Him. He didn't abandon me. He yeah. was, thank the Lord, He was with me every mm-hmm. single step of the way, all the mm-hmm. way through all of my madness. But when I started playing secular music, I ended up with a job shift as well. And I went in to a tattoo shop one day. And so they, you know, they asked me, they was like, you know, you're wearing medical clothes. Are you medical? And I was like, yeah, I work at the nursing home down the road. And well, we need a sterilization person in here. And, you know, this shop, I mean, me now, I would never be, you know, the Lord's with me, but I wouldn't go in that place. It was scary. It was yeah. dark. It was all the things that you would expect mm-hmm. from the world to go into this place. Mm-hmm. But of course, I was in the world, so I was blind. Right. I didn't know. I was a blind, naive person. Mm-hmm. That's probably the worst way to be blind and naive on the world and what all it entails. I was new into it. Like I said, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I didn't know anything other than that. So going into the world, I went into the world blind. And before I knew it, my love has always been music and art from childhood. It has always been music and art. And so they ended up asking me to work there and to get an apprenticeship. It only took me about 10 months to 11 months before I realized this, if this is what this is, I don't want to be involved in this place. I don't want to be involved in this way. And I'm looking back on my, you know, on this journey of 15 years or so, and God was moving me in a direction every single time. There was a little step here and a little step here, but every single thing always pointed closer and closer to Him. Mm-hmm. And so I got out of that shop. I had, you know, this this job under my belt, but I did not want to do it the ways that the world did. And I didn't want to even be in that environment. So I moved to Grayson County. And I was really thankful enough to be at a place that it didn't have anybody else working in it. There was one, the shop owner, he was actually an SRT sergeant at the jail in Grayson County. And he owned the shop, but he didn't run the shop. And he needed somebody to just be there and run the shop. And so that, I was still able to stay away from the things that I didn't need to be around. But it also wasn't where I'm at today.
Yeah.
And when you're in the city, you have a lot, you have every kind to come in through the doors, and you can't filter that. So that then pressed me more into, you need to get away from the city. And in 2017, I was able to open up my own shop. And from that point, so this was pre-encounter, okay? Mm-hmm. So this was even before the Lord really shook me of the ways of the world and all the things. I was still blind. But there was something inside of me from that seed that was planted as a young child. These are the ways that you need to go. These are the ways you don't need to go. Mm-hmm. And so I open up this shop on faith, like, because it could crumble mm-hmm. or it could sustain. I could not control the people and the flow that comes in, or I could be able to. Like, it could have went so many different ways. And in 2017, everything changed. My whole life changed. I went from not having, you know, many clientele, just whoever walks through the door, to being 6 months booked out. Mm-hmm. but it was a certain, there were certain people that came. And a lot of these people had had their lives changed, and they had markings and stuff on them that they did not want anymore.
Right.
And
so you're a tattoo artist.
I'm a tattoo artist.
Okay, all right.
And definitely different from...
That's what your shop...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
And it's definitely different from the ways of... when you turn your TV on and you turn on a, you know, a show, we'll just say Ink Master. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not. But,
which one that is.
But you see this just, it's just a worldly thing. They're tattooing everything under the sun. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They have no moral values of this is not something that is presenting, you know, in a good way. And so these people, there's, you know, they're walking around and they've got, you know, they may have a swastika on them. They may have some sort of racist symbol on them, or they just, it may be provocative or it may be lustful. And in their days and time when they were younger, they got it not thinking.
Right.
And as they got older and came to the Lord, they realized, like, this is not me anymore. And I don't want to be looked at mm-hmm. as that way. And I became really good at cover-ups. That's kind of my specialty. That's the whole point of this Ink ministry, and that's what I call it, is that you're not bound by your past. Just as he washes us away mm-hmm. from, you know, all of our sins from the east to the west, we can take that and turn it into something that glorifies God, something that is beautiful, and something that no one will even remotely see you as that past anymore.
Right.
And because they are permanent. Mm-hmm. They're permanent, but they're also, you know, you can cover them up. Mm-hmm. And thank the Lord for that. So I began going down that road in 17, 18, 19, and then 2020 hit. And I was non-essential, just like I think nearly everybody in the world was non-essential. Only a few could stay working. And so I believe the Lord, he designed that exact time for me. See, everything is personal with every person. He designed that time exactly for me because he knew he was about to shift my entire world mm-hmm. into such a direction that was for him. And all he needed me to do was say yes.
Yes.
And so 2020 happened. I was off for 2 months, almost close to three. And in that time frame was when I had my encounter. And I just began to press in with the Lord. My grandfather, I always say he was my biggest fan. And I don't mean that in any kind of glorifying way. He just always believed that, like, there was something that I knew, but I wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. And so he would just pray for me, you know, so much. And in that time frame of me coming to the Lord, he was, you know, I called him and I was like, I know what you're talking about now. I know. I see it. I see it, you know, clearly. And everything shifted in that moment. Before, from 2017 to 2020, I was still listening to secular music in the shop. Mm-hmm. I've never been the kind of artist that would put bad, you know, things on people or anything like that. But something happened in 2020 that shifted me even more so, and even things fell away from me even more in a honed-in view of, this is your purpose. You're going to go out in the highways and the hedges where nobody else will go, mm-hmm. where some people are too scared to go. And you're going to say, you know, you're going to speak my word. You're going to present an atmosphere that is safe for these women, because this is a very perverted industry mm-hmm. in the world. I was there, you know, when I started. And I think I told Jeannie this before. When I started in 2013, there was one man in our shop. There was seven of us women, and we were told what to wear, and we were told how to act so that we would make more money, more mm-hmm. tips for him.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, what does that sound like? You know, this is...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's how I came into this industry, and it made me feel so uncomfortable. But I also seen these girls that would come in that would be 15, 16 years old, and the looks on their faces, like to see that they really, you know, I'm seeing the little girl in them and not the girl that thinks she wants to be a grown up coming right. in there, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they're scared and they would get taken advantage of at mm-hmm. that young. They would get taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I all like deep down, it was like, I need to find a safe place because they're going to go. they're going to go and get a tattoo.
That's right.
You're not going to be able to take this out of this world.
Right.
And so I needed to find a way to be able to have them to come in and be safe. They don't have to feel like they're going to get hit on. Mm-hmm. They don't have to feel like they're going to get taken advantage of. And so that's where the whole shop ended up transitioning into the ink ministry that it is now. And when you come into the shop, even when, you know, before I built a brand new shop in August.
Oh, wow.
And but even before then, when I was in McDaniels, just right down the road here, you know, as soon as they walk in, there's so many of my clients are like, this is the most peaceful place that I've ever been in a setting like this. And they may not even be Jesus followers, but they knew that there was a shift in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I began to notice that I know what I feel, but having someone come in off the street used to a certain way, mm-hmm. coming into a whole different way and loving it and being drawn to it and coming back and coming back and coming back. And here I am 15 years later, and I still have people who came in one way, but they're totally different now. Mm-hmm. And they are, they enjoy coming. I enjoy talking about the Lord with, there's so many people, and it's always the ones that I never expected. It's always the ones you never expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always, when I wake up, I say, Lord, whatever you would have me to say today, whatever you have me to speak on, whatever music and topic you would have to be played, like, let that happen today. And I'm willing and I'm open. I cannot count how many, like, encounters. That, like, you know, I know that we are the church. Mm-hmm. This is a building, you know. But church happens in that place. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how just in the shift of your direction, how you can change something that could be totally dark and demonic and scary and, you know, wicked. There is that side of it. But he will take all things and he will turn them for good. And he says, here's the avenue I need you to go down, because I don't have anyone in this area to do that. And we need that in this area. And I need you to minister to these people. And I need you to say hard things to these people. Mm-hmm. And, okay. And, you know, the fact that they trust me, you know, they trust that, you know, because 99% of my clientele knows my testimony. They know exactly where I came from. And they also know that I'm not that girl anymore. And they can tell because of how I am. Mm-hmm. It's not what I say. It's how I live.
Yeah.
I'm no different here than I am, you know, in a restaurant or at home. And that's very important. We can't be nice and sweet and happy when we're in church and then mm-hmm. be totally different whenever, you know, we're out. And so fast forward all the way through to 2020, what are we in, six? So 2025,
yeah.
The Lord blessed me in such a way of being able, I mean, my shop flooded in McDaniels. All this time I'm thinking, you know, I've been paying rent, religiously paying rent, you know, every month. And that's, it was a big chunk that I had to pay for this building that I had in McDaniels. And the Lord kept telling me, like, when are you going to move? You have 3 acres in the middle of the woods in such a peaceful place, and you're in Boat City. You know, I'm trying to get you further out. And I was really hesitant. And so I needed, sometimes we need confirmation.
Yeah.
And so in January of last year, I walk into the shop after a rain that wasn't too bad, and my shop had flooded. And I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? You know? And so I go in there and I clean everything up. Didn't think about it. That was the first time. It's for some reason it's threes with me. Like, once the third one hits, I'm like, okay, Lord. And then, so March happened, same thing, came in, the shop was flooded. I clean it all up and I'm like, oh, this can't happen much more. You know, like, what, you know, what am I going to do? By the time April got here, we had 10 inches of rain. That was when everything, you know, flooded.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew when, oh, it was one day after church, me and my husband, we was going to go to the shop and check on it, because I was like, I know, you know, if it flooded then, it's going to flood now. And I walk in, and there's water flowing from the back door through the front door. Mm. And as soon as I opened it up and saw it, I said, okay, Lord, I'm building. Okay, I get you. I understand what you're saying here. You're telling me. You're pressing me.
You're the reason we had the flood.
Yes, right?
Had to give us a big flood just to get her attention.
Just to get my attention. And it did. It was like, I was like, okay, Lord. And every step of the way, I was like, make yourself known. Show me. Show me which direction I need to go. All the way down to show me what needs to be hanging on the walls. Mm-hmm. Like, very particular. And so April, that was the beginning of April. April 12th, we started building. We broke ground. And we had my son helped me, you know, build the shop. My husband helped me do all the inside. Everything was done. You know, we prayed over the building. You know, we wrote scriptures on the doorposts and inside of everything. I just wanted that place so protected by the Lord, and to only bring glorification to Him, and to only bring the people that He knew that needed to be there at that appointed time. All the way through this entire ministry, most people, if you're a builder, if you're a contractor, when someone cancels and says, hey, I don't need you to build this building for me anymore, I've found someone else, or I've ran out of money and I don't have enough money to build, you're like, oh, what am I going to do now? I've got bills to pay. I've got this and this. Every single time someone cancels because of something that came up, God has placed someone else directly in that spot, and it's been exactly the right person at the right time with the right word that He sent to me. So many times that it's absolutely evident to me that He is working in all of these things, and this needs to go here. This needs to go here. This needs to go here on this date, and you need to speak this, and you need to say this, and it all is just this big, beautiful, world thing that he has all of this in his hands. Mm-hmm. I've trusted every single time when, you know, this bill needs to be paid, and He will bring somebody in. I do want to testify on this one specific thing, because it actually covers the whole thing. So the building's being built, and we get down to the wire, down to the septic tank and lateral plumbing. You know, that's always expensive. I'm pretty much over budget already. I think everybody knows when you build, you might as well kick the budget out the door. And so I'm in my old shop, and I'm sitting there, and I get a call the week of the plumbing supposed to be coming in. I get a call, and it's the plumber, and he's like, hey, he said, we're still on for this week, but I got a problem. And I was like, okay. You know, like,
what else?
What is it, you know? And he says, well, you're built on a rock. And I was like, I know.
And firm foundation.
Firm foundation. He said, you got 4.5 feet of solid limestone underneath your shop all the way back. And I'm like, okay. And I said, that's a good thing, you know. The ground's not going to go anywhere. And he's like, no, not for a septic tank. He said, you got to rent this piece of equipment. It's $1,800 a day. And I was like, where am I going to get $1,800 at just like within this week? And so he says, well, just let me know if you get it or if we need to push this off. So I hang up the phone with him. 10 minutes later, I cannot make this stuff up. My husband is probably hooping and hollering right now, because this is such a wonderful testimony. Yeah. And so I get off the phone. I get a text message from this random number from this random lady who is from Morgantown, Kentucky. Mm. And she says, I heard about you from a lady in my town, and I would love to come and be with you for 2 days. And she said, I'm headed to your shop now, and I'm going to pay you in cash, and I'm go ahead and book my appointments. And I thought, okay, Lord, if this is you, she's going to show up, because that's just crazy, you know, that she would just randomly message me 10 minutes after all of this. Sure enough, 35 minutes later, this woman walks through the door. She hands me $1,200, okay, and she says, Paige Woolridge sent me. Okay, that's one of my wonderful clients from Morgantown. And she had no idea that she was part of this this entire testimony of how this was going to happen, all of the works. He will take everybody and put them exactly where they need to go. So she hands me $1,200. I said, Lord, this is your money. $1,200, okay, I can deal with that. I'm going to find the other $600. I'm going to come up with it. I'm going to put my end here. The next morning, so I go home and tell my husband that, and he's like, that's wonderful. Like, wow, that's amazing. The next morning, I wake up, another random text message from a lady in Morgantown. She says, hey, I heard about you. I'd like to book 2 half-day sessions with you, and I'm sending the money right now. $600 comes to my account. And I add up the money, and I realize it's the exact amount that I needed for that exact piece of equipment. Mm. I take that cash, and I go into Joe Bennett's, and I said, here, this is God's money. It ain't my money. Just take it. Take it and do with it what you need to do. Get the job done. I mean, there's no way that that exact amount at that exact time for that exact purpose, mm-hmm. God was working in that. He said, I'm going to finish the job.
Right.
And he said, all you have to do is trust me. And that is how my whole life has been for the last 15 years.
That's
I've
awesome.
Just trusted in him.
Yeah.
And he's pulled me closer. I've watched things fall away from me, and it just keeps falling away. Whatever falls away, I'm not going to bring it back on. I don't want it anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm seeking him.
Right.
And I'm trusting him that he's pulling me in this direction mm-hmm. for this purpose. And it's for a greater purpose. It's like when we go out in the highways and the hedges, when it talks about that, like I was talking
yeah.
about what we did Saturday. It was just so amazing. And not everyone is cut out for certain things. Everyone has their certain mm-hmm. ministry or whatever that they're drawn to going into. And you know, to most it would look different. But I know that the Lord has
yeah.
every single bit of his hand on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing to
watch. So do you mainly do
watch.
Cover-ups? Is that what you do? Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people won't do them.
Yeah.
I've had so many people to come in and be like, well, I've went to 4 different places and they won't even touch it. They say it's not possible. I always love when they say it's not possible because I'm like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. When I'm in the process of this, you know, I'm realizing that their old life on the outward mm-hmm. is fading away.
Right.
We are taking something that brought vulgarity or whatever,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, to their life, and we erase it and mm-hmm. we make something beautiful. Something has to go there.
Right.
Most people cannot even think about affording laser removal.
Right.
And most of the time that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes it look not only bad but ugly, you
right.
know. So
yeah.
so most people don't go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, cheaper than, with 15 years experience, I'm cheaper than anyone else around because I want you to be able to do it. I'm not
right.
here to be a millionaire. I'm not here mm-hmm. to be famous. I'm not here to do any of those things. If Jeannie knows, you know, I live in a little 100-year-old farmhouse in the middle of the woods and I'm mm-hmm. perfectly happy there.
Yeah.
I don't drive a fancy, nice car. Mm-hmm. Like, all of the things you see on Ink Master and mm-hmm. all these places where they, you know, they're just all about the fame and the fortune and the
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. Like, none of that matters to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
who would have thought, though, that God would give someone a ministry to cover up tattoos from someone's
right.
past? That
yeah.
is just amazing. And I know, I'm sure you've been judged over it because you
yeah.
know how the community is a
yeah.
lot about tattoos. And I mean, we won't even go there,
yeah.
you know, as far because there is a script, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, there is detail in that scripture, too,
yeah.
that, you know, doesn't
yeah.
exactly mean what
right.
what religion has
right.
made it.
Right.
So I don't, you know, we did go there. But anyway, what I'm saying is a lot of people are against or whatever. So
yeah.
I'm sure you've had to walk in a little bit of that
mm-hmm.
as far as being a Christian,
yeah.
you know, but to erase someone's past
mm-hmm.
naturally
mm-hmm.
for them because, I mean, a person I know well had one on the forearm
mm-hmm.
and it just was not good. And so when they became a Christian, they wore long sleeves all the time
yeah.
because they
That's
did
exactly
not want,
right.
because
yeah.
it wasn't one that was to be seen.
They have
yeah.
to
you
cover
know?
Up all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing. And it's just, it's kind of like blowing my mind. I'm like, you know, God would give someone a ministry to cover up tattoos. It's
mm-hmm.
just, it's, and I know that's probably not just, but I mean, that's the majority
yeah,
of your
majority.
Ministry
mm-hmm.
is covering up so that they can walk in and wear a short sleeve shirt. It means a lot because I know that person that I knew was constantly looking for long sleeves in the summer, you know, when they went to ministry or to not ministry, but to church or whatever, you know. So that is huge.
And it's a
God cares about every little detail, doesn't
absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of, especially our culture, like she said. I love that you said this because it's true. They're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to do it. The draw is too heavy.
Yeah.
And so to have a place where at least maybe they can, but you can talk to someone about, hey, this is permanent. You don't even really think about what you put on your body.
Yeah. I'll talk them out of a tattoo before I put
them on. And then you can actually share Jesus. Yeah. I love the idea that you can share Jesus with some of the younger ones who are beginning what they think is a colorful, I get to do this thing, and
I'm
going to
be so cool.
And you get to say something into that right away. And, you know, I can see the ministry of that exploding as far as that goes. And, you know, we did a similar thing. And every home is touched heavily, I think, in our culture by drugs, by alcohol, by all the stuff. Somebody in your family is probably struggling. And, you know, after they come out and they truly have had what you call an encounter, what old school called born again, you know, being saved really is. They've got these things that are still, every time they look in the mirror, reminds them. I mean, just like, you know, every time I look at the scar on my face, because it was one of the last big things that happened before I came to the Lord all the way. And so when you look in the mirror and you can't get away from what's on you, you know. We remember we started a ministry in a little over a year ago. For those who lost their teeth to meth. And to see, you know, here they are, born again, changed, completely changed by the power of God, serving the Lord with all their heart, but they look in the mirror and there's something there that says, here's who you are.
Yeah, look what
this
you did.
This is who you really are. You know, it's able to use it against them.
Yeah.
So I say, bring out the dump truck. Let's pull in everything. All stops. Let's make everything that can possibly happen for them happen. And so we started helping people get their teeth. And now you're helping people erase the effects of a bad decision.
Words.
And bringing this back around to... You know it was the Holy Spirit leading you all the way.
Absolutely.
Because you could have said, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. I don't know what you went through. But, you know, but you knew that God said, I want you to continue here because I want you to help people. That's amazing because a lot of people would have said, oh, no, I can't do that anymore now that I'm a Christian, you know, or something like that, you know. But and so and my religious mind even kind of went, oh, wow, you're a tattoo artist, you know. But what you're doing is amazing. So it's really blessing me that, you know, I need to get rid of my religious thinking too of like, you know, they're, you know, what, well, you know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly. You know? Yes, absolutely.
So I just think it's wonderful that you were led by the Lord all the way and you didn't worry about what man says. And you just kept pressing in. And we were talking about that before you came in about being led by the Holy Spirit, not being ashamed of the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's what you're doing.
And it's because, you know, when you get, obviously when you go to a building that is in fellowship, you expect to see other believers that are in the building with fellowship, right? When you go into a tattoo shop, you expect to see something total opposite. I'm on solid ground. I'm not moving. I'm on a firm foundation. I'm not changing my music because it may offend you or, you know, it's offending your flesh. You know, your spirit is truly wanting to be loved and to have that, you know,
peace
and tranquility of how he can just wrap you in his arms in such a way that everything outside of that just goes away and you can start to begin to reflect. I have so many times that sometimes it's just quiet in there and they actually have time to be still.
Take a breath.
Take a breath and to reflect on the things that, that maybe need, that the Lord is going to be pulling out to their remembrance.
Well, you're offering them, instead of religion, you're offering them relationship.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And can you imagine as they're laying there, realizing that this thing is leaving
and
something new is coming that's different
it's very
and changed.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a, you know, some it's an, like you said, an emotional thing, yes, that happens, mm-hmm, that transition, that not only spiritually but naturally
yeah,
God is changing me into His image.
Yes,
mm-hmm, you know, yeah, evidence. It's evidence. There's some evidence on, yeah, there.
That's right. That's exactly
it's amazing.
Right. And it's
amazing.
There's so many testimonies and beautiful things that I can just reflect back on, and I'll remember. Oh my goodness, I remember this. And and it's always the ones I least expect.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the way it is. And, you know, when we're, yeah, it's always when you least expect it that He will move, that He will bring out. You know, I had a girl just a few weeks ago that I was like, I was asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, is there anything that I need to say? And it was something that she said. And that the whole rest of the time, mm-hmm, was about the prodigal son story, and there was things that she didn't quite understand. She was raised to know the Bible. She was raised to be good.
Mm-hmm.
See, to, yeah, be good.
Right, in yourself.
And, right. And so she said, you know, I always teach my kids, you know, to be good and to be kind. And she said, and there's some things in the Bible that that I believe. And she said, but there's other things that I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around. And I was like, okay, Lord, there's my chance right there.
Yeah, right,
and
right,
I said, so what do you not believe,
yeah,
in the Bible? And she was, you're going to laugh about this because we've kind of been talking about the old. She said, you know, when they say that you can't cut your hair and you have to wear dresses and that's all you can do and you can't be anything other than, I was like, well, the Lord has worked in me and I'm not doing that. You know, I said, that is the religious thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so I brought her to the prodigal son,
mm-hmm,
and I began to explain to her the parable of the prodigal son and how it's a reflection, mm-hmm, of exactly how the father is to us. We've spent all of our inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
We completely demolished it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet He has open arms to us to say, come back home.
That's right.
The ring and the robe, mm-hmm, and the fat cow.
Let's party,
you know,
yeah.
Let's come back into fellowship with one another. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that when she left that day, she left with something that He left with her.
Mm.
It wasn't anything that,
right,
I did. I was just obedient. This, mm-hmm, is the part where we just have to be obedient,
mm-hmm,
because He is going to work in every single situation the way He needs to personally for that person, for their home life, for their marriage, for the way they're parenting, for their job, whatever it may be. He, mm-hmm, already knows that. He knows the before, the beginning, the after, all of it.
That's right.
I don't. But I'm just trusting that whatever He does put to my remembrance to speak and say, that it is going and being planted on fertile ground, mm-hmm, and that it's going to take.
Amen. We were talking before you got in here, and we were talking about atmosphere,
mm-hmm,
about charging the air, mm-hmm, again,
yeah,
and about the buzz of Jesus going out,
yeah,
across the land again.
Yeah.
And you just came back off the streets. I'm very jealous because you did what something that we were supposed to do.
Yeah, there'll be more.
Yeah, there'll be more. But we talked about just walking through the town,
yeah,
playing the guitar and singing and just,
yeah,
see what God draws.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to do that.
Yes.
And so share a little bit of how that went.
So it was wonderful. I was telling Crystal earlier, it was a humbling experience because, you know, we lay down our heads at night on a clean pillow and clean blankets. And sometimes people just have a shift of life. And a lot of them are veterans. And, so you see all walks of life from one end of the spectrum to the other. And some are happy with the way they live. And, you know,
mm-hmm,
I commend that. They,
yeah,
don't need anything.
Right.
And you can tell that they're in fellowship with the Lord. I mean,
mm-hmm,
it's just such a beautiful thing. But being able to walk through and charge the atmosphere.
Mm, come on.
In a way of worship. And that is my heart. My heart is,
mm-hmm,
is just drawn to worshiping Him and bringing heaven down,
right,
here, you know, and it's through us that He does that. That's,
mm-hmm,
how he manifests and works. And so going across that bridge, hearing, you know, we were singing the Reckless Love of God, and we did the Cloud of Your Presence and the River, and singing these songs, and people would grab a hold of that. And they'd be like, yeah, yeah. And, you know, you could hear, you knew that there were fellow believers that were walking on that bridge at the same time.
Amen.
And that would just be, encouraging,
mm-hmm,
keep on, keep doing, mm-hmm, what you're doing. And it was just such a beautiful thing. But also at the same time, you have people who they have said the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as far as they've taken it.
Right.
But they see this joy and this zeal on these 15 people that are walking mm-hmm. down the street with two crosses yeah. and a guitar. And they're like, why are they so joyful?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are to be when we go out in the highways and hedges. We are to bring that zeal right. of the Lord mm-hmm. yeah. so that it overflows onto them and they may grab a hold of one word that we have said, mm-hmm. and they take that and they go back with it. And that gives room for the Lord mm-hmm. to work
Amen.
In their lives.
Amen.
And I'm believing for that. I'm believing that, you know, many
yeah,
people.
There's just something, there's a shift taking place, and I don't have the answers to all of it. Nobody does yet. But the Holy Spirit is beginning to, that word unction, about we've got to move.
Yes.
We've got to share. We've yes. got to mm-hmm. say. It's time to come out of the churches. I don't
yes.
know if that means physically, but whatever that means,
yeah.
about it's not about me and mine mm-hmm. anymore. It's about God saying, I want to pour out my spirit
yes.
on all flesh, all.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, last week teaching on evangelists really convicted me. I don't do much of, you know, I do personally with people and I pray with people. I do things, but I don't go out and say, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just repenting. You know, yeah. I'm just saying that's, you know, it is not my gifting, but it is my duty, is what
yeah.
I just read in the
yeah.
scripture about
right.
2 Timothy 4, whatever, 4, 5, and 8 says,
do the work
of an event
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then fulfill your ministry.
Yeah.
So that is part of my ministry.
Yeah.
It's not just in the church.
Right.
It's wherever I go. It's letting the Holy Spirit lead me. And that's what y'all did
yes.
Saturday or whatever
mm-hmm.
it was y'all went.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Whitney and them do that all the time. Whitney mm-hmm. Ward from mm-hmm. Kingdom Mission.
Kingdom yeah. Mission.
They're always on the street. And there's others that do that. I've seen other people with the crosses and,
mm-hmm.
and going out. And it's amazing work because you don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You know, it, and just some them maybe passing with a cross could convict
yeah.
somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they may not even need to say anything.
There was actually, they went to Owensboro. My husband went on this one. And this was
mm-hmm.
his first time ever going
yeah.
out. It's been a couple months ago. And they went to Owensboro and they were just holding the cross on the side. And this lady pulls over and she says, you have no idea you were my sign.
Wow.
And he said, you know, explain. And she said, I have been in a way that I've felt like ending myself.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, I just didn't really see anywhere to go. And I said, God, if I don't need to do this, you need to show me a sign.
Right.
And she said, I look up and I see that cross. And she said, I'm going to work on my relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so she left that day with the sign from the Lord through a cross on the side
no,
of the road.
No word spoken.
No
just,
word spoken.
Yeah.
And it was just like she was drawn to go over there and just let them know how you're doing. You're doing what God
Keep
wants
on
you
doing
to do
it,
because
yeah.
you changed, you know, my
right.
outlook on this.
You
so.
Know, it's one of those things. I mean, we talked about it where the guy that was here, the guest, yeah, I can't ever say his name. But he was talking about he had noticed that when he was in a crowd and he was speaking, and it didn't matter what the crowd was, whether it was Christian or non-believers, he said when he would say, now the Bible says, and he said it was like you saw them lean
mm-hmm.
into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's the same thing that we've been talking about all morning, what you're talking about right here, is that there are words that we speak, whether it be in song
mm-hmm.
or prayer, or we speak holding a cross at the side of the road.
Yeah.
We speak when we're walking down the road singing and holding a cross. There's a language that's being
yeah.
spoken.
Yeah.
No matter what we're doing, if we're
mm-hmm.
doing it for him.
Yeah.
Because he said, I want them all.
Yeah.
That's what he
mm-hmm.
wants.
Yeah.
Come on.
I
no
want them all.
Yeah, come
and
on.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that is something that we have to understand, is that we've got to be heard.
Yeah.
Because again, whether we understand it or not, it's just like what he said, when I would say, the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
they leaned
mm-hmm.
to hear.
Right.
And again, Paul and Silas were singing, and the prisoners heard them. Gayla and them were walking through the holler to go to church, and they heard them, you know,
praying.
And they heard. Yes. And on the side of that road with that cross, they heard.
Amen.
Someone heard. Mm-hmm. We have got to speak.
Right.
Yes.
And it's even a, I'm sorry, Hannah, go ahead.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
I was fixing to say, it's even a type of command that God is telling us, because can you imagine, I don't know, but when you get to heaven and God says, you did great, but what about this one?
Yeah.
What about this one? You know,
exactly.
What about this one? I don't know that God's going to do that. I'm just saying, but what if he did? The conviction needs to be there that how many people have we missed?
Yeah.
Not how many have I got saved. We had 24 got saved. That's wonderful. But what if God is saying, but you missed this one?
Yeah.
You know, you missed this one that I had crossed right in your path.
Yeah.
And
all
you
because
didn't.
Because you didn't feel
you
like
didn't
that was,
say anything.
Well,
you
know,
didn't
exactly.
say.
Exactly. One thing about this story we read in Acts again, and going back to it, but, you know, they were singing and praising, and all of a sudden all the things heard, and people heard, and the keeper of the prison heard, and he was going to take his life. And then he came. Hearing, he came and said, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
You know, we need to get over the think of it being so hard.
Right.
God told me, I kept talking, when I would talk it to people, I would say, now I know this is hard. I know this is hard. I'd read scripture. I know this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me one day, he said, I don't want you to ever call my word hard either,
right.
ever again.
Right.
Because it's not. They were praising in prison.
Yeah.
And somebody heard.
Yeah.
And then the next thing was, what must I do? I'm not saying that it's always easy, but there's a speaking that goes to the hearing, and people respond to it.
Right. And it's trusting. It's trust. You know, like, that's what I always thought. Well, I won't have fun anymore if I become a Christian,
right?
You know, or it'll be boring.
So many rules.
You know, that's what I thought in my mind.
Yeah, religion.
When I, like Jeannie said, had my encounter when I was fully born again, heart transplant, all of me was gone, and all of him came in and washed everything away. I no longer wanted to do the things I used to do, and I no longer had a desire for those things and those ways and that thinking. And all I wanted was to be closer to him,
amen.
Whatever that looked like and however that became. And that's the part that I think a lot of people get hung up on is the do's and don'ts and the wills and won'ts. And they, you know, so we have to step out of our comfort zone of, okay, well, this is what religion looks like, and I'm going to be all nice and tidy now. And because you might get people to not want to be that way if you present it that this is the way Christianity is.
Well, it's like you were saying with those people. You're not offering them religion.
Right.
You're offering them a relationship.
Yes. And look what you would have missed if you'd have said, well, you know, we're not supposed to do this, you know.
Right.
We're not supposed to do tattoos or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But all those people would have been missed and still walking in guilt and still. So you never know how God's going to use you. Everybody's ministry is different.
Yes.
Everybody has a different walk,
right.
You know. I don't know how much time we'll have. I can't see that clock.
We got about 7 minutes.
Okay, we're good. All right. I just wanted to say we probably need to leave time for us to begin to pray and just to ask God. Did you have something, Jeannie, look like?
Well, I don't know if we got time to get into it, but I just want to encourage people out there that are listening right now that, you know, we talked early on about the work of an evangelist, that we need to be those evangelists. And then here she comes and she's doing it in her workplace, and then and her whole business is centered around the Lord.
Right.
And then we go, you got the opportunity to actually go out with probably one of the wildest evangelists around, and that's Whitney Ward. But you get out there on the streets and you experience that. Well, then I know that there's people that's sitting back at home going, I couldn't do that.
That's not me.
I just don't think I could do that. And it's really not even being a place where you go, that's not me. Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord's going to take you places.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do things with you as you surrender that's never going to be you.
And shouldn't we want to?
Right.
It's never going to be.
Shouldn't we want to?
But I want to encourage you Now, we talked about this just at a Bible study yesterday. Will you just allow him to interrupt your life?
Amen. Right.
And what I mean by that is you're on your way to do the thing that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to get some milk and bread, and then I'll be ready, and I'll be home, and da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Yeah.
But then God sets in front of you.
Amen.
Somebody that you don't have time for.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be interrupted?
Right.
Will you let him use you right there?
Because
that's evangelism.
Yes, it is.
Whether it's the one, mm-hmm. and the one is usually a dominant thing,
because
you don't usually do the masses.
Right.
It's the one.
That's the one.
And so evangelism is not as hard as you think, like you said.
And asking, God, don't let me miss anymore.
Yes.
Maybe I've missed him in the past. We can't walk in guilt and condemnation.
Right.
But asking that question, God, have I missed?
Mm-hmm.
Who have I missed, mm-hmm. God? I don't want to get to heaven. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen, because there's no scripture that says God's going to,
but
we will be judged for our fruits and what we do. But I don't think God's going to go, you didn't do that, But what I'm saying is if you were asking yourself that question, mm-hmm. or if God asked you that question, have you missed anybody that I tried to show you, let me show you who you missed. That would be an overwhelming thing. But if we ask ourselves that today, God, show me, don't let me miss anybody. Mm-hmm. Don't let me miss anybody mm-hmm. today. Let that be our heart's cry. Mm-hmm. Don't let me miss one, God. And let that unction of the Holy Spirit, going back to that again, come when that unction, and what all that means is like it's a quiet pulling, it's a quiet something that goes on. You're like, God's trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
Whoa, what is this? What is this? And you just begin to pray, and somebody will show up.
Yeah.
For me, I get like a, it's like something in my stomach.
In your gut.
I feel like a tightening in my stomach or something like that.
Mine's my chest. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. Mine's pretty much,
in there. But also, it's just your attention is, he brings your attention to something.
Yes.
And you can't shake it.
Yeah.
It's
the Spirit of God rising up,
like
saying, hey.
It's like something's getting your attention.
Yeah.
It's the same voice. It's the same unction.
Right.
It's the when you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden,
hey, I never read that before.
Right.
Yes, I have.
And he stops you right there.
Yeah.
He stops you right there.
I like
or when the same, because it's all the Holy Spirit, the same as when you're listening to Box 2 and something sticks out to you and you can't, it sticks. It's like he's sticking something in you.
He does that usually every time we're in here, because we'll say, adjust, or something like that,
right.
or stuck at the gate. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and what are you trying to say, Lord?
It's Peter walking down the street with the guy sitting on the sidewalk. And was it Peter?
Yeah.
And he turned his eyes on him.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at
gazed at him.
He fixed his eyes
on him. Yeah.
And, we've talked about that before. He might have walked past that same guy for the last
38 years, maybe.
But today, he fixed
and
his
it's
eyes.
And it's the same.
It's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just stop. Just stop in your tracks.
Right.
And hold up a minute, because God's wanting to do something, whether it's with
you,
in you, or for somebody.
Yeah.
He's wanting to do something.
So, I guess what we're all trying to say here is that shift that's coming is the boldness. The boldness to move out in the Holy Spirit. It's time.
Yeah.
They pick us and call us three the seasoned. Well, it's time for a season to step up also.
Yes.
And the younger, and the middle.
The middle, you're the middle.
I feel bad
the middle.
The middle.
That's our middle, girl.
If you're breathing, you are included.
That's right. All flesh. He wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh.
If you have flesh.
And
come
so
on.
It's right.
Yeah.
It's time for the dry bones, for us to prophesy to them and begin to speak to them. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago also, about dry bones, about speaking into their lives and causing those dry bones to rise up and letting the flesh come on them, then the Spirit of God.
Hey, Tiff, why don't you pray for some of the people that are listening to us today.
Two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Father God, I just thank you so much for this time again together with these ladies. And I just thank you for all the listeners out there. Father God, I just ask that whatever has come through these microphones, Lord, out into the atmosphere, that you would just plant it into deep, solid ground.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, that they would begin to press into you, that if they've even had a thought in their mind, I wonder if he's real, Father God, that you would just show them your presence and show them that you truly are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and that you will begin to just work blessings and miracles in their lives, Father God. I just ask that you would just show them the way and the will of your presence, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would just touch families and reunite them, Father God. I pray that anyone that's out there that is in addiction or any kind of trying to recover, Father God, that you would redeem, restore them, renew them, and bring them back to yourself, Father God. I just ask that you would just touch each and every individual in all of the ministries, Father God, that we begin to press in and allow your spirit, Lord Jesus, to be able to work in the ways that you want us to work, not in the ways that we want to work or the way that we think that it should be, but the ways that you think it should be. And Father God, make that known to all of us, each and every one of us here and out there. Lord, I just pray that you would just help each and every one.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill our ministry. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Tiffany, for coming on with us again. And we will be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. on Mornings with Box 2 Radio, 7 a.m. Central Time.